There was a trend on the internet a few months back of people asking the question, what radicalized you? And sharing their influences. Jesus, Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Maya Angelou, Oscar Romero, Nelson Mandela, the list went on and on. The point of these postings at the time was to subvert the tired old trope that somehow supporting the weakest in our world, showing compassion, wanting diversity, equity, and inclusion, supporting human rights and the dignity of all people, affirming all people of every kind of gender, identity, or sexuality, celebrating different cultures, and all that and more, is some kind of woke, radical socialism, rather than what most of us would call it, being a decent human. But if you want to know what radicalized me, what made me realize my faith called me to believe that all people were of equal value and all deserve to be treated fairly, and that society needs reformation justly, then you need look no further than Luke chapter 4, tonight's reading. Even in the midst of my most conservative and evangelical season of my early Christian experience, the account of Jesus reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth made me realize that the reason for this faith journey was not just about an individualized salvation, me and Jesus being best buds, so I got my ticket to the happy version of the great hereafter. It was this passage that began to open my mind and my heart. In fact, I can say honestly, it was the Bible that turned me liberal and became the basis of my journey into progressive theology. Unlike the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Matthew, which we heard this morning, Jesus starts as a result of John the Baptist being arrested. Today's account tells us that following his time in the wilderness, Jesus goes to synagogue, as was his custom, and reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. In this account, Jesus' actions are the direct result of the prompting and the filling of the Holy Spirit, that experiential part of God that lives within all things and all of us. The Spirit in Luke's gospel is active throughout the book. She leads Jesus into the wilderness to face the temptations in that mythic encounter, which we will hear in just 3.5 weeks as Lent begins. Then the Spirit leads Jesus out of this wilderness time back into the synagogue, back to his homeland of Galilee, where he is drawn, led, inspired to read this scroll from Isaiah, a statement of intent at the beginning of his ministry. And what is the intent at the very start, under the anointing of this same Spirit, to bring good news to the poor? Now, good news to the poor is not to say, it's all right, Jesus loves you, or if you say this prayer, you will be saved. As the African proverb says, an empty belly has no ears. Good news to the poor is being fed, clothed, and cared for, included and welcomed. And more, good news for the poor is that the systems that create the conditions of poverty will be challenged, dismantled, and replaced with values of justice and equity. Jesus goes on to read that the Spirit also anoints to proclaim release for the captives, sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the year of God's favor. Now, in the churches I grew up in, and in many churches, they have spiritualized this passage, by which I mean they talk about spiritual captives and the spiritually poor and the spiritually blind and those oppressed by evil. And there is some mileage in seeing both meanings in the text, but actually both with the opening sentence proclaiming good news to the poor and with the closing words, the year of the Lord's favor, it's impossible to remain in just a spiritual realm. The year of the Lord's favor was the year of Jubilee, the year all debts were cancelled, the year all land was returned to the original owners, the year slaves were set free, the year when justice was to prevail in the land. Is there any evidence that this ever happened in ancient Israel? Well, no. But the Hebrew scriptures are pretty clear that this is a calling for all faithful people to never get so entrenched in injustice that equity is ultimately lost. It's worth noting here that Jesus chooses to edit this part of the scroll of Isaiah. When he talks of proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, he takes out the second half of that verse, which talks of the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus chooses justice without vengeance, healing instead of breaking, building up instead of destruction. So in case it all got lost in the mix, this passage began my journey into liberality, to progressive theology, and to general wokeness, because it sets justice as the primary focus of Jesus' ministry and mission. It prevents us over-spiritualizing at the expense of actually working for the betterment of our neighbor. It encourages a flexible, thoughtful encounter with Scripture, and it credits the Spirit as the foundation of all this work, that Spirit available to all, not just the chosen few. Reading the Bible radicalized me, and it continues to blow my mind that anyone who claims to have read this messy, disturbing, challenging book and come out the end still believing it's mainly concerned about any kind of personal or individual salvation, particularly one which is exclusive, I don't think they've really read the Bible. Amen.